10. If you want to turn over there, we'll read verses 46 through verse number 52. Mark chapter number 10. And I meant to mention, but let's really remember Preacher Melvin and Sister Margaret in her prayers as well. He's not been feeling well at all. And so let's try to hold them up in our prayers and encourage them all we can. But he just wasn't feeling well. And so let's remember them too and one another. Mark chapter number 10, beginning at verse number 46 down through the end of the chapter. We'll read those verses tonight. The Bible said, "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more, 'A great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, 'Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee.' And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?' The blind man said unto him, 'Lord, that I might receive my sight.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." I told Kim as we were heading out the door tonight, I said, "I'm going to preach tonight on blind Bart." And she said, "Did you call me blind something?" I said, "No, I said blind Bartimaeus. I'm going to preach tonight on blind Bartimaeus." And, you know, we call him that sometimes. And but he didn't remain blind, did he? But he's got that name in the Bible, being blind Bartimaeus. The Scofield Bible says here Bartimaeus receives his sight. And that's a good title, a good way to look at it. But I was studying about this, and this is a passage of Scripture that's I've preached on probably one of the first messages I ever preached when I started out, or well, I'll say within the first year. I come and preached around this passage of Scripture and preached about Bartimaeus, and but I couldn't find where I'd made any notes or anything, that being that long ago. But Bartimaeus, if you study about his name, a lot of times in the Bible you can find out something about somebody just by what their name means. And Bartimaeus means son of Timaeus, or it means Timaeus, the unclean. And so, being the son of the unclean, here we meet a man in the Bible. And he's got a sad, sad story if we don't know anything about him but what is right here. But him being son of the unclean probably, I'm going to say tonight, indicates that he comes from a long line of sad stories. There was probably a case of leprosy in his family somewhere. That's what they would be labeled as, would be unclean. Might have been some other affliction of some kind, but that's what it means. Bartimaeus, the son of the unclean. Makes me wonder if his family didn't have a history of leprosy, or maybe something that had happened in his family was the result of even him being blind right here. But as we begin to study about Bartimaeus, it's a pretty sad picture. Pretty pitiful thing to think about a man sitting by the highway side begging for some money, begging for something to eat. Begging in and of itself is a sad thing to see. But Bartimaeus in the Bible is a picture of mankind. He's a picture of all of us. We might look at Bartimaeus and say, "Boy, he's pitiful. Boy, he's sad," but all of mankind is pitiful. All of mankind is sad. Bartimaeus is a picture of mankind in his lost situation. And so that's what we see when we begin to study about Bartimaeus, even his name, son of the unclean. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all like Bartimaeus in one way or another, or at least have been before we got saved. And so that's what we find a type of or a picture of here in Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse number 46. We're going to look at Bartimaeus tonight. And we're going to say, first of all, what we see a blind beggar. That's what the Bible says in verse number 46. And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And there's several things about this blind beggar here that we notice in verse number 46 about him that is a picture of lost mankind. First of all, I notice in verse number 6 where he dwelt, where he lived at, where he was from. The Bible says, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho, so evidently the Lord Jesus had just passed through Jericho, and he was on his way out of town. And a lot of times that's where the beggars would sit. They would sit where there's a lot of traffic, where there's the most people coming and going. So he's sitting right on the outskirts of town. And the Lord Jesus is passing through, and he's headed on his way to Jerusalem. And here we find that Bartimaeus dwelt or lived, abided in Jericho. Jericho in the Bible is known as the city of the curse. You might remember when Joshua chapter 6 and verse number 26, Joshua pronounced a curse upon Jericho, that if any man would come and build the walls back again, that he would be accursed, and let the city be accursed. And it's known in the Bible as the city of the curse. And so it's a cursed place. It's a place that's got a curse upon it. In Luke chapter number 10, you read about the story of the Good Samaritan, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, by the way. And the Bible says in Luke chapter 10, verse 30, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. And I've preached on that before. I've heard preachers preach on the Good Samaritan and how that the man went down. And Jericho is a picture of going down, and Jericho is a picture of going away from God. Jerusalem is the city of God. It signifies God's presence. It signifies where the temple was and the worship of God, and people went up to worship. But if you go down to Jericho, that's what you do. You go down and you go away from the Lord, and that's where that Bartimaeus was, and that's where mankind as a whole dwells, in Jericho, a place that's cursed, and a place that goes down, and a place that is away from God. And Chloe and I, we've been reading every night in Pilgrim's Progress, the children's version, for a long time now. I guess we're about halfway through the book, but it's a great book, and I've recommended it many times. I like the adult version better than the little one, but there's a lot of good stuff in it. But when Pilgrim sets out on his journey, he leaves the city of destruction. And he leaves on his journey, and he has a book in his hand. And of course, the book in his hand is the Bible that he's referring to. And he's read in that Bible that he lives in the city of destruction, and it's going to be destroyed, and he knows that he needs to escape. And he has a burden upon his back. And that's how this world is. This world is condemned. This world is the city of destruction according to the Bible. John chapter 3 verse 18 said, "He that believeth not is condemned already." Mankind is not going to be condemned. Mankind is condemned already. Because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we were born into a sinful race, and we live in a sinful world, and on and on and on we could go. And so Bartimaeus, that's what we see, first of all, where he dwelt. We see, second of all, what he was. The Bible said in verse number 46 that they went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus. I wasn't being disrespectful when I said I was going to preach on blind Bart. That might have been what people in the town called him. Who's that fella out there, old blind Bartimaeus? He's blind. That's all he does. He sits out there. And you think about tonight, the subject or the thought of being blind. I never really thought very much about being blind until when we lived in Idaho, we had missionary Kent LeBove come through. He's one of our missionaries. He's down in the islands, pastors a church down there. But Kent LeBove is legally blind. And he came and he preached in the church. And him and his family stayed in our home. And we had a couple of days to be around them and be quiet. I'd never been around a blind person before. I'd never really thought very much about being blind. But ever since then, whenever I see a blind person or I read in the Bible about being blind, I think about what it would be like. I've been just a little bit closer. And I remember asking him and talking to him about, he amazed me that if you just saw him preach, you wouldn't know he was blind. If you'd seen him get up in the pulpit and what he does when he gets in the pulpit, he measures where the step is in relation to the pulpit. And so you'll watch him preach, and he'll preach all around the pulpit, and he doesn't wear glasses or anything, and he'll get right up there, and his toes are hanging off, and you think, he's going to fall. He's going to fall. But he's gotten used to that. And I've thought to myself, what if I was blind? What if you were blind? How would you function? How would you do things? I've thought a whole lot of times, what could I do for myself and what couldn't I do if I was blind? Could you make a pot of coffee if you were blind? A lot of times I get up in the morning, that's the first thing I do, and I pour the water in my coffee pot. A lot of times I guess and just see, if I was blind, how close could I get to, I want 8 cups. You say you drink all that? Yeah, pretty much. That's really just 4 cups. Kim drinks some. Abigail drinks, they're drinking all my coffee. But I thought about that. I guess just being up in the dark early in the morning, what could you do? You'd have to be a whole lot more patient than you are now. You'd have to wait on people to do stuff for you. You'd be in a lot more danger than you are because you couldn't see. You couldn't see traffic. You couldn't see curbs as you were walking or holes or when the ground changed or something like that. It would be a terrible thing, I would think, to be blind. A blind person cannot see. But spiritually speaking, all people are blind until they come to the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 3 says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." And you can take a lost person and you can read them John 3:16 and explain how dangerous it is to be lost. And if you die without Christ, you would die and go to hell. And they'll go home. You're more bothered about it than they are. What's wrong with people that they can't see how desperately they need to be saved? Why can't people see that Jesus died on the cross for their sins? Because Satan hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. They just can't see, just like a blind person can't see. They're blind. Bartimaeus is a blind man, but he is a picture of being spiritually blind. And then I see in this verse also what he did, not only where he was and what he was, but what he did. The Bible said in verse number 46 that he sat by the highway side begging. That's what the Bible says. When I see somebody begging, it bothers me. It bothers me because most of the people that I see begging are able-bodied people. Passed somebody the other day, a young man, Monday. I was coming towards the church. And, boy, they just rotate up on the bypass, and there's a fellow out there begging. I passed by. He was as healthy-looking as I would think a young man would want to be. Didn't look like there's a thing wrong with him that he couldn't have a job or work. I mean, he'd stand there. And then we passed somebody tonight on the way to church. Young man standing there. I mean, there wasn't nothing wrong with the fella. Now that bothers me. That bothers me because I don't think that able-bodied people ought to be standing out with a sign and expect people just to drive by and give them something because they've got a sign. Sometimes it's a sad sign. But now, if somebody was blind and reduced to begging or some other something where they just physically weren't able to, that would be pitiful as well. That would break your heart. That would make you say, now that fella needs some help. Because there's obviously something. See, in that day and time, the government didn't take care of people that had disabilities. It was up to family, and there the people that had ailments and blind and lame, and we've read about all these things already in the book of Mark, they were reduced. That was all they could do. And old Bartimaeus, he's out there and he's begging. And I can see him in my mind's eye, and it's a heart-wrenching sight. And I imagine Bartimaeus sitting out there beside a dusty road all day long, and he's blind and he's dirty, and people are used to seeing him out there. And probably, just like now, a lot of people just pass him by. And when he'd hear somebody coming, maybe he had a cup, or maybe he called out to him, I don't know, but it was known that he was there. But mankind without the Lord Jesus Christ tonight are nothing but poor beggars. People that are lost without Christ are just begging their way through this world, trying to get filled up on trinkets and pleasures and things of this world and the love of this world. And they're just spiritual beggars is all they are. You can have all that the world has to offer. You can have all the riches. You can have all the money, all the fame, all the power. Solomon had all that. And you know what Solomon said about it? Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. All is vanity. Everything I've got, Solomon said, it's all vain. It's all vexation of spirit. It's all empty, all of his riches, all of his gold. He had lands, he had vineyards, he had horses, he had stables, you name it. Solomon had it. And he said it's just vexation of spirit. It's just empty and vain. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's why Solomon said at the end of the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, why he said to young people, he said, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. He said, don't do like me. Don't do like I've done. That's what he was saying. But without the Lord Jesus Christ, we're just poor, blind, condemned beggars. And it ought to stir our hearts with compassion to see those that don't have the Lord Jesus Christ. They're lost. They're lost and they need to be saved. So we see, first of all, there's a blind beggar. But we see in verse number 47, there's a beginning. The Bible said, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out. There's your beginning. He began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. The Bible said he began to cry out. When he heard that it was Jesus, that's when he began to cry out. He was crying something out before, but when he heard that it was Jesus, he began to cry out in a different way. Before, he was crying out for somebody to come by and to give him something. But when he heard that it was Jesus, that's the best news he had heard in a long time. I believe from studying this that Bartimaeus had evidently already heard about him. Bartimaeus had already heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now he hears that he's near him. He's heard about this man that, I mean, the fame of the Lord Jesus we've already seen in the book of Mark. Everywhere that he went, there were great crowds that came around and they brought sick people and blind people and people with leprosy and, I mean, even dead people he had raised from the dead. Bartimaeus had heard about him. But now Bartimaeus hears that what the Bible said in Luke 18:37, it said that Bartimaeus, he heard the commotion, and the Bible said he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. So now he hears that he's passing by. Now that he hears, who is it? Can you imagine Bartimaeus there sitting by the road and he's, what's all the commotion? What's all the noise? He could tell there was an increase of traffic around him. And they said, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And he began to cry out to the Lord Jesus. The Bible said in Isaiah 55, verse number 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. He took advantage of the opportunity while he was near. Well, he's passing by. I'm sure there's an idea flashed across Bartimaeus' mind. Maybe what I've heard that he's done for others, maybe he can do something for me. And he began to cry out. He began to cry out earnestly. There's a beginning there in verse number 47. There is a boldness in verse 47, in verse number 48. The Bible said when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Verse 48, and many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. It took a lot for him to cry out. He couldn't see what was going on. He didn't even know what was going on until somebody told him, Jesus is passing by. And so he began to cry out, and then people tried to hush him up. Be quiet, Bartimaeus. Hush, Bartimaeus. Calm down, Bartimaeus. But that didn't deter him whatsoever. He began to cry out even more. He wasn't going to be hushed. He wasn't going to be stopped. He wasn't going to be hindered from getting to or having his petition brought before the Lord Jesus. You know, the Bible says about prayer in Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse number 16. It says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Boldness gets the attention of the Lord. They said, Bartimaeus, be quiet. He got even louder. He made even more of a commotion. God likes for us to come boldly, not timidly. He likes for us to come. He had boldness. Let me point out some things. He had boldness for the right thing. In verse number 48, many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. People were standing by and they said, be quiet, Bartimaeus. You beggar. You're always wanting something. Always. But you know what? Bartimaeus was, he didn't cry out for money. He cried out for mercy. This is not what he was usually begging for. This was something completely and totally different. It was the right thing. He said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He wasn't crying out for money. He was crying out for mercy. And mercy is a cry of an offender to be treated better than he deserves to be treated. That's what a cry for mercy is. Mercy is a cry that you hear in the courtroom when the judgment is handed down and the judgment is just. Yes, judge, that's right. I did it. I'm guilty. I deserve to be in prison for 50 years, but please have mercy on me. That's what mercy is. I know I deserve it. I know I don't deserve any better, but mercy is a plea to be treated better than you really deserve to be treated. And so Bartimaeus wasn't talking about his bad luck or his bad health or anything like that. He's crying out for the Lord to have mercy upon him. He's crying out for the right thing. He is crying out to the right one. He said in verse number 47, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Now, we could point out that in verse 47, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. Now, if you look over in Matthew and Luke, Bartimaeus inquired what was going on, and they said, Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. But Bartimaeus didn't say, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, Jesus, thou son of David. Now they were calling him Jesus of Nazareth, which was where he was from and what he was known as to a lot of the people. But Bartimaeus used a phrase, Jesus, thou son of David, that acknowledged the Lord Jesus Christ as the Messiah, the promised one, the Savior to come. He cried out to the right one. That Jesus of Nazareth is a, I won't say it's a disrespectful term, but it's just a common term. But Jesus, thou son of David, he's calling him the Messiah. He is recognizing him as the one promised by God and sent from God. He called out to the right one. He called out. He had boldness at the right time. The Bible said in verse 47, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out. He immediately cried out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He didn't say like a lot of people, well, you know, I think maybe the Lord could help me. And the next time he comes by, I'm going to see if I can talk to him. See, a lot of people won't get saved because they're banking on that next time. While the Lord Jesus is passing by and speaking to their heart, they're saying, no, no, not now. Later, after I've had my fun, after I'm a little bit older, I'll do business with the Lord the next time he passes by. But the Lord Jesus Christ, now we're going to get into this next week, he's going to Jerusalem. He's going to the cross. He's not passing through Jericho anymore. Boy, Bartimaeus, it's now or never. You're going to get in right now. When are you going to get saved? You're going to get saved when he's passing by. Not when you want to. I do believe the Lord will save whosoever will. I believe Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the whole world. But I do not believe people just get saved any old time they want to. You'll get saved when he's passing by. You'll get saved when the Lord speaks to your heart in a very real way. But Bartimaeus, he's got some boldness. He's treating it like it's now or never. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He cried out. They said, Bartimaeus, be quiet. He cried the more, great deal. I like his boldness that he has before the Lord. Number four, there is a be of good comfort. I like this in verse number 49. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee. I'm glad there's a be of good comfort in there. I mean, Bartimaeus, he'd made a great deal about calling out to the Lord and all of those things. And I really get a blessing out of verse number 49. And this is worth underlining in your Bible. And Jesus stood still. He heard the poor beggar's cry. A lot of people had passed by over the years and Bartimaeus had cried out and they'd went right on. And if they'd have stopped and done something for him, they couldn't have done much. Give him a little piece of money. Give him a piece of bread. Give him a blanket in the wintertime or something like that. But they walked away and Bartimaeus' greatest need never had yet been met. But when the Lord Jesus passed by and Bartimaeus cried out, the Bible said Jesus stood still. He still hears the cry of the poor beggar. He still hears the cry of boldness. And it stopped him in his tracks. And I just get a blessing out of that Jesus stood still. And the Bible said in verse number 49 that Jesus called. It said there that Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. You know, you won't come until you're called. But if you'll call, he'll call you. We could say it like, have you ever called somebody and nobody would return your call? The Lord will return your call. If you'll call upon Him, He'll call upon you. Now, a lot of people try to explain that, but I just can't explain it. But I believe it with all my heart. If you'll call on Him, He'll call on you. But you'll not call on Him till He calls on you. God has to do a work in a person's heart. But He stopped. He stood still. He commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort. Rise, He calleth thee. And we look down in verse number 51, and I see in verse number 51 that Jesus offered something unto him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Well, you might think that's obvious. And the Lord knew what he needed. And the Lord knew what he wanted. But he wanted to hear Bartimaeus confess it. The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. The Lord made him an offer. What do you want me to do? Bartimaeus didn't say, well, mom's taking care of me. And, you know, we're getting along all right, but if we just had a little bit more coming in, it'd sure make that. No, that's not what he did. He said, I want to see. I want to see. Well, that's faith, isn't it? I'm getting ahead of myself. He could ask for a lot of things that have made his life a little bit better, but he didn't go for anything but what was the very biggest desire of his heart. I want to see. I want to be able to see. I told somebody a while back, I said, if you'll seek the truth, you'll find it. If you really want to seek the truth. He's talking about believing and some things it's hard to believe. I said, forget about that. Just seek the truth. And if it's the truth, believe it. If you really want to know the truth, God will show you the truth. Well, Bartimaeus said, I want to see. The Lord Jesus made him an offer. Be of good comfort. I mean, if the Lord called to you, you'd be of good comfort. You know He's going to do something for you. He stopped. They said, He wants to see you. That thrilled Bartimaeus in his heart. What do you want me to do for you? I want to see. The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And then number five tonight, we see there is belief. There's belief. Belief is very important. Look at verse number 50. I skipped over that a moment ago. But the Bible said in verse number 50, and I'll say first of all about belief, there is a casting away. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. They said, Bartimaeus, he wants to see you. What did Bartimaeus do? He jumped up, threw off his over garment. There was a casting away. Many people will not come to the Lord Jesus Christ because they think what they have is good enough. Bartimaeus knew what he had wasn't good enough. Maybe that garment was a hindrance. Maybe that garment was dirty. I don't know, but it's significant that the Bible said, casting away his garment, he came. What I've got's not good enough. I'm going to get something else. And he cast away his garment. You know, we live in a day and an age, the Bible said in Proverbs 30 and verse number 12, there's a generation that are pure in their own eyes, yet are not washed from their filthiness. They're all right, as far as they see it. The Laodicean church, Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 17, they said, we're rich in increase of goods. We have need of nothing. The Lord said, you don't even know. You're poor and you're blind and you're naked. You're pitiful. You're in bad shape. Until we realize the shape that we're in, we'll never come like we ought to. As a sinner, what I've got, what I've had, what I'm clinging to is not good enough. I remember, used to be a song years ago, and I can't remember exactly how it went, but one phrase of it said, I'll tell you the best thing I ever did do, I laid off the old coat. Put on the new. That old coat's not worth anything. That old man's not worth anything. The Lord will give you a new garment. There's belief. We see that in a casting away. There's a confession in verse number 51. Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." That was his confession, what was wrong with him. He wasn't putting on. He wasn't asking about something else. I already went over that. He said, "I'm blind. I want to see." There's a confession of his real condition. We'll not get right with God until there's a confession of our real condition. "I'm not doing pretty good. I'm doing pretty bad. In fact, it's awful. I can't see." You know, I sang about the song, and we sing it all the time, "Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. I once was blind, but now I see." We know what it's talking about when we talk about being blind and now being able to see. There's a confession. And last of all tonight, in verse number 52, there is a continuing. The Bible said, "And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." He believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and he got more than his eyesight. He was saved. "Thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Did you notice that? He got saved before the Lord gave him his sight. "Thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight. That was the word from the Lord. The Lord said, "I'll do better than that. I not only give you a sight, your faith hath made you whole." He came to the Lord Jesus confessing him as the Messiah. And he was the only one that could meet the great need that he had. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. What good is faith if it does not follow? Is it real faith if it never follows? I mean, there's a lot of people. You ever been saved? "Oh yeah, I've been saved. I hadn't been to church in 50 years or whatever, you know. I'm not going down there." You know, they got no use for it. I don't see that in the Bible. I would hate to bank my hope upon that all that I ever had in my whole life was just, yeah, I went forward. Yeah, that, like one person told me one time, the preacher who saved me. Preachers don't save nobody. He followed Jesus in the way. There's a continuing on. There ought to be a continuing on. That should go without saying. I mean, after what the Lord did for him, he followed Jesus in the way. After what the Lord has done for us, redeemed us, brought us out of the city of destruction and gave us sight and gave us new clothes and, well, we ought to follow him. And so Bartimaeus followed Jesus in the way. There's a belief there, a real belief that followed and continued following the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to follow him. And so there's some good things about Bartimaeus there. Some good things about Bartimaeus. And so we ought to thank the Lord what he's done for us. That he's, if he's ever spoken to your heart and saved you by his grace, you can say just like Bartimaeus, "I once was blind, but now I see." He's really done something for us. And we ought to follow him in the way. So there's a lot of good things in there.